things, and we didn't want to be constricted by time with what God is doing. So I want to go ahead, and if you'd all take your seats, and we want to introduce Bobby Hyde as he comes with a word that God has given him for this body, in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 I'm going to start right here and see where we go from. Okay. All right, Lord. The Lord's word says in Ephesians 2, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Thanks be to God. Praise the Lord." So today's message, and I'm not going to look at the clock, because we're on God's time, is saved by grace. And when I started this message, when the Lord was preparing me for this message, I didn't realize, truthfully, what I was getting into. Because he revealed to me so much that I just couldn't have imagined. And I just thank God. I give him the glory. And I just want to thank everyone who knew that I was going to be speaking today, that were praying for me, because those prayers have been answered. God is faithful. So thank you. The question I'm going to ask is, are you saved? And are you sure? That's a very, very, and to the point. God is to the point. He's not going to tiptoe around these subjects. He's going to be right, go straight to your heart. Are you saved and are you sure? And the last question is, are you ready? The morning when we were praying, God revealed a lot through just the prayer that we were being blessed with, but through praise and worship, we were singing, and as we were singing, the Lord was saying, "Open up your heart and let him in." And as we kept singing that over and over again, meditating on that word, which is God's word to us, he's asking for us to open up our hearts so he can enter in. And what came to mind at that moment, and God, through the Holy Spirit, revealed to me, was a time in my life when my grandmother passed away, and I remember my aunt. I went and saw her prior to her passing, and I was a believer, but I really wasn't walking the way I should. I wasn't professing my faith, and I wasn't doing the things that God has called me to do, and I know that now. But she mentioned to me, and I'll always remember this, that when my grandmother passed away, she was in the bed, and it was her last breaths, and they knew it. And my aunt and my other family members were there. I was not there. And all I can remember my aunt telling me was, my grandmother jumped up out of the bed and screamed out, "Open up, open up, open up." And then she passed away. And that, for me, I prayed that she knew who the Lord was, but I wasn't certain. So I asked those questions, are you saved and are you sure? Because I don't want to be that person that approaches God's throne in heaven and screams out, "Open up," when he's asking us right now today to open up our hearts to him. So that's the question I have. And are you ready? So as we define grace, grace is a mercy or pardon, a manifestation of favor by a superior, kindness, courtesy, clemency. It is all that God is. And why is grace so important? Because it allows us to enter into the presence of God and take our rightful place with him. And can that grace be earned? No. It is freely given by God. It is a gift of salvation. And what is it that we must do to receive the gift of grace? We must have faith in Christ Jesus. And that's it. And how are we justified in the eyes of the Lord? By grace, through faith, which leads to righteousness, justification. So why does God offer us grace? Because he loves us. As we read in John 3:16, we all know the verse. How much he loves us. For so God loved the world that he gave his only one and only Son, for that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And this is the verdict. Light comes into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. And everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for the fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that he has been done through God. So that verse is very, very important. As we read in the Old Testament, we see through the Old Testament, New Testament grace revealed by the prophets. And as we read in Isaiah 26:10, they will not acquire the knowledge of justification. But when grace is shown to the wicked, they do not learn righteousness. Even in a land of uprightness, they go on doing evil and do not regard the majesty of the Lord, which is the knowledge of justification. Isaiah is reflecting on God's judgment, expressing his trust and hope in God, pleading with his people to wait on the Lord. In Zechariah 12:10, God's word says, "Mourning for the one that were they pierced, and I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look unto me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn as for him as one who mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly as for one grieves for a firstborn son." And this is God's promise to his people in the Old Testament through the prophet Zechariah. God did promise this, and he will protect and strengthen his people and deliver them from salvation as God pledges to pour out his spirit of prayer and repentance on his people through the prophet Zechariah. It is fulfilled in the New Testament in John 19, verse 36 and 37. These things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled. No one of his bones will be broken, and as another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced. And this is very important because as sinners, we have pierced, our sins have pierced Christ as that was the purpose of his death, was to take our sin. He died for our transgressions that we should mourn, that our hearts cry out to him, the one who bore the burden of our sins. The sorrow of a penitent or repenting soul flow from the believing sight of a pierced Savior, Jesus Christ. That leads us to our atonement, which in the Old Testament, the way our sins were forgiven and the way that we were cleansed from our sins, to make amends, atonement, or recompense, to repay as for an offense or for an offender. In Leviticus 5, chapter 5, verse 6, as a penalty for the sin they've committed, they must bring to the Lord a female lamb or goat from the flock as a sin offering, and the priest shall make atonement for their sins. In Leviticus 9, chapter 9, verse 7, Moses said to Aaron, come to the altar and sacrifice your sins and your burnt offerings and make atonement for yourself and the people. Sacrifice the offering that is for the people and make atonement for them as the Lord commanded, which is commanded where we get the law. That was God's command. As we read in the Old Testament, man needed to do these things to cleanse them from their sins and God's punishment. And we also read that we see that God has grace for those who have faith and they were considered righteousness. Abraham and Noah are considered righteous because they're faithful and they were obedient to what God had told them to do. And they were obedient is the key word. So as we read about God's atonement for our sins, we can see in the Old Testament, didn't seem like a pretty picture to me compared to what we live in today in the New Testament and how we live today and how we can approach God and how we can ask for forgiveness for our sins. As we compare law versus grace, in Romans 5, verse 15 to 17, we read, but the gift is not like the trespass, for if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Again, the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one man and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through the one man, how much more will those receive God's abundant provision of grace of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? So as we see the difference here versus the law versus grace, the law is given by God to Moses. The gospel of grace is given by God through Jesus Christ. The law is glorious. It discovers It's a discovery of God's will concerning man and his goodwill towards us, but the gospel of grace is a much clearer discovery of God's grace and his truth. The law was terrifying, it was threatening, bound with penalties. The gospel of grace has all the benefits of the law without all the terror and the fear. The law brought guilt and condemnation. The gospel of grace gave us salvation and hope. The law is fear-based on God's wrath. The gospel of grace is given freely by God out of his love for us. The law, we are judged by our good works to fulfill the law. The gospel of grace, we are judged by Christ Jesus, the good works in God that is in us. And the law was an atonement for our sins, was incomplete, leaving us dead in our trespasses. As for the gospel of grace, is the redemption of our sins through the shedding of Christ's blood, which completes our salvation. And finally, the law, Adam's sin brought us death, thus the law, followed by God's judgment and penalty for our sins, bringing eternal damnation. The gospel of grace, Jesus abolished the law, redeeming us from God's judgment to bring us eternal life. There's a big difference between the two. I think you can see the one versus the other. I know which one I would want to choose. I don't know about you. Praise the Lord. So I understand it. It seems obvious, but until God reveals it through personal revelation, until you get into his word and understand it more and more, as you do, it becomes who you are. But it will change you from the inside out. And who are we outside of Christ? We are dead in our trespasses and sins. We're following the ways of this world. We're fulfilling the desires of our flesh. And who are we in Christ? We are holy and blameless in the eyes of the Lord. We are transformed into perfection in Jesus Christ. We are exalted on high, seated in heavens with our Father. Again, big difference there. So, we've mentioned a lot about God's grace. We've mentioned, truthfully, I had personal revelation. I didn't realize until I started looking into his word about God and his grace for us. The one and most important thing that I came away with was how much he loved us. And I knew it. But did I really know it? And only until I dug really deep and dug deeper and dug deeper, he revealed more and more of how much he loved us. So God's grace is his love. It's his precious gift, which is very important to remember. It's not earned. It's nothing we have done or will do. And finally, in Galatians 2, verse 19 and through 21, we read, Through the law I died to the law, so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Those are very strong words. And they're very to the core, which is what God's word does. It cuts to the core. It does not tell us what we want to hear. It tells us what we need to hear. It doesn't give us what we think we need. It gives us what he knows we need. It gives us life. It gives us hope. It gives us a future. So we just thank Him. We give Him the praise. So the next thing I want to ask is, as I opened up with, was speaking about my grandmother in the hospital. And again, it's very unfortunate. I start to come to a revelation, a realization maybe. That wasn't a good thing when she passed away. But I learned from that, because when my mom and my dad passed away recently, God gave me the opportunity to witness to both of them before they passed away. And I, in my heart, knew the difference between what I was spending time with my grandmother, who was passing away back then, versus who the person I am now, and what I can do and the impact I can have on someone I love. And it was all God. He gets the glory. So when I was witnessing to my mother, I didn't see my mom. She was, when I was called to the hospital, she was already intubated, but she was there. And I went and prayed, and I asked God for mercy, and I asked God to have grace, and I asked God to show His love and mercy and compassion on my mom. I interceded on her behalf, and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, day, 2 days, 3 days, whatever it was. Then I got a confirmation from the Lord that it was time. And I was praying outside the hospital by myself, and my brother called, said, "We got to go up there." We did, and as a family, we got around my mom. My wife was there, my children were there, my whole family was there. And the nurses were there, and we prayed, and my sisters prayed, and people that didn't even know how to pray were praying, and it was awesome. God's presence was in that place that day. And I felt in my heart, when it was time for my mom to go, when her eyes closed, that she's going to be with the Lord. And that was very important to me. When my dad passed, it was a little different scenario. I got called in an emergency situation to go see him. He wasn't doing well. He lived alone. And he was not doing well. Unfortunately, he didn't take care of himself so well. Leading up to those times, I did sit down and I tried to talk to him. And I tried to, again, sometimes it doesn't seem like they're listening, but God's word does not come back void. It does what it needs to do. And I know that He heard through my wife and myself, and when He walked into my home, He heard and He felt the presence of God. And that's all I could do at that time. But when I saw him, when I got called in an emergency situation to go see him, he wasn't doing well. He was in dire straits. He was ready to get, he gave up. He was ready to go. And his situation was very bad. I didn't know he was that bad. But he said to me, "Bob, just leave me alone." And I just watched him, and I just sat there and I looked at him as he was just content on being just left to die. And I said, "No, I am not." He said, "But I'm your father." I said, "No, I'm not going to let you die. I'm not going to let you just leave like this." So we called the ambulance. They took him. And his situation wasn't good. He was in very bad shape. Pastor was there, prayed with us. And we kept praying. My son, who was in Texas, I thank God, by the grace of God, was able to come and minister to my father. And we prayed and we prayed. And my wife was there, and she prayed with him. And she felt confirmation that he, through the revelation of God, through the Holy Spirit, was accepting and understood and felt God's presence in and through her ministering the Holy Spirit to him so that he can receive the grace of God and be saved. I know in my heart, I feel that because we were there and we understood the message of grace and the salvation that is needed to enter in the presence of eternal life with Christ Jesus, that we are called to minister that word. And when we have that opportunity to know what that really means, because in my grandmother's case, to be screaming, "Let me in," when God is saying he wants to be let into our hearts so we can do and spread the word and the gospel of grace to those so that we can one day, we pray, save another by the gospel of grace, by our testimony and our ministry and our prayer, so that we can give that person the opportunity to know that God loves them and they have salvation through their faith in Christ Jesus. So then what is next? And I would just want you to understand this is important, is prayerfully consider God's gift of grace. And if it is your heart's desire to receive this gift, I'm asking you right now, please make a declaration in faith. If you're willing to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life and receive the fullness of his grace, this is the time. God wants to pour out his salvation onto you and save your life forever. In 2 Corinthians 6, chapter 6, verse 1, it reads, "Do not receive God's grace in vain, for he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. I will tell you now, is the time for God's favor, and now is the day of salvation." I'm telling you. No more asking. Do not hesitate and let the enemy steal your gift, which is God's love and your hope. Take advantage of the opportunity. Because in my grandmother's case, I don't know if she did. And I just thank God that my mom and my dad, through our prayers, because we were there, had the opportunity, and they did. So, today is the day. If there is someone here who has not committed their life to the Lord in the way of salvation through grace, through the blood of Jesus Christ, please don't miss out. Come forward for prayer. It's a humbling, life-saving declaration of your faith. That's what it is. Are you deserving? Yes, you are. You're a children of God, not bound by the law, but by his grace. You are set free. And this is the time to do it. So I pray if anybody here has not accepted God and his grace, please step out in faith and take advantage of the situation, get the prayer and what you need for your salvation, because it is life-saving. It is the only way to the Father. So, Pastor, if you'd like, can we just play something maybe? We're just going to give you a time right now to just think about exactly how God is ministering to you. I know it's late, but I think it's very important. Again, I don't want anyone to miss out on any opportunity. If you feel uncomfortable and you want to ask for prayer, possibly after service, that is absolutely fine. We understand also. But again, please take this opportunity to humble yourself before the Lord and receive His great gift of grace.
Can I ask us to do something, Bobby? I'd like, Maureen, if you would stand with your husband in the front. And as we worship with this song, I'd like you all to just stand. And just worship and pray. And if you are ready to receive the grace of God that Bobby shared, the loving grace of God, just want to encourage you to come forward and let Bobby and Maureen pray over you. In Jesus' name. The rest of us, just pray for one another in this room. In Jesus' name.
Amen. The Lord is saying right now, do not be afraid, for I am here in your presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.